which teach about the soul, we the soul, that is, we're not this body, but we're pure spirit soul within the body. And whereas the body is perishable, we the souls are eternal. It's not that the body is a person, but we the soul is something impersonal. Rather, the soul is the real person, and the body is just like a dress that only looks like a person, because we the soul are inside. Otherwise, dust thou wert, dust thy beast. The body is just dust, but the soul is the real person inside that we have to find out. So this Neo-Vedic art is a history of how this movement of Vedic teachings came to the West, and the art is a part of that. Okay, Asante. So this is my spiritual master. Lights off? This is my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who I met in 1966 in Tompkins Square Park in New York City. And when I first saw Srila Prabhupada for the first time, I thought that he was a genie who came from up down on a flying magic carpet, because he looked like he didn't come from this material world. And he would come to Tompkins Square Park every Sunday in New York and lead all the people in the park in the chanting of Hare Krishna. And then I came to the temple, and he told me that this process is very old, very simple, and sublime, and it springs automatically from the spiritual platform. Is it ready to come on? Is everything plugged in properly? Couple of minutes. Okay. And we'll just mention that after the program, some of the art is available for distribution. And the nature of this art is that it's windows to the spiritual world. Our spiritual master said it will be like the rain after the drought of mundane art, and everyone will be attracted. One famous mundane artist described art that art is a lie to tell the truth. For example, just behind you, there's two paintings of horses. So those are not really horses. It's just some brown paint and red paint and blue paint and a cotton canvas. So it's really a lie, it's not a horse, but it's to tell the truth of the horse. So spiritual art that was taught to me and other spiritual artists by our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, that art is the truth, because Krishna, to tell the supreme truth, because God is non-different from his form. So therefore, these paintings have spiritual power. And just by looking at them, just by keeping it in your house, your whole atmosphere changes. And the atmosphere of your house turns into a spiritual, sanctified, peaceful atmosphere. So this is our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And this is our instructing spiritual master, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. I met Prabhupada in 1966, and I met Srila Narayan Maharaj after Prabhupada's departure from the vision of the world 1977. Then I met Shivanarayan Maharaj in 1992, and he continued the training of our spiritual art to cleanse the world. He said that if anybody sees this transcendental art, he gets what's called sukritis, or spiritual pious activities that create spiritual impressions on the heart to change our vision of the world and to ultimately give us devotion for the Supreme Lord Krishna and realization of our own selves. So this is how I painted before I met Srila Prabhupada. I used to call this still life, but after I met Prabhupada and realized what is real life beyond the body and beyond matter, then I realized that this is still death and not still life. And here's another example of how I painted before I met Prabhupada, just mundane things. And then here's where I met Srila Prabhupada, the famous founder of the Hare Krishna movement in the West. And here he is at Tompkins Square Park, chanting Hare Krishna and telling all the people about the benefits they'll get by chanting. This is one of the first paintings. As you can see, it's not very technically advanced. You can see that the Lord's hands look like baseball gloves, and this club in his hand looks like an ice cream cone, and the waves of the ocean look like question marks. But still, Prabhupada was so encouraging that he made a big announcement to all the devotees. Now, who could look at this and say that is not God? So I was so proud that I thought, yes, I don't know if I'll ever be able to make one so good, but I sure will try, because this person is so, although he's so divine and so beyond matter, still he's acting like my spiritual father and so encouraging. And this, it's small, but this, I don't know how this happened, but although Prabhupada came from the spiritual world beyond millions and millions of universes, in 1968, I was able to go on morning walks with him. And now Vasanti will show that in motion. You have it? While we were on the walks, he would share so many philosophical truths. Like, as we were walking through a park, he pulled one leaf from a tree, and he said that the impersonalists, those who say that God is impersonal, they give the analogy of the tree, that all the leaves of the tree are all one. It's all green oneness without variety. But if I was to take this leaf off the tree and throw it on the ground, then it will not get the chlorophyll from the tree. That is, in the name of impersonal oneness with God, I'm actually disconnecting myself from the beautiful relationship that I can have with Him as servant and master. It's not like the service in this world. Service in this world is like a perverted reflection of service to Krishna. Service to Krishna is a very beautiful thing, where God Himself becomes the servant of His servant. Here, if I don't get enough money, then I strike. We want more money, we want more money. But Prabhupada said, my disciples are so happy in their service that they work and they pay. So here we are with Prabhupada, and he's in a few minutes will be giving that example about the impersonalists and pulling off the leaf of the tree. He threw it on the ground and he said, and now nobody would touch it. They would just be disgusted, because now that tree, that leaf that fell on the ground, detached from the tree, no longer gets chlorophyll. So God is the reservoir of all truth, beauty, unlimited pleasure, eternal life. Every moment being a brand new moment, newer than the previous moment. So being detached from him, we have to suffer repeatedly birth, old age, disease, and death. Okay, back to the heart. We have lots of movies of both Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev. So if anybody would like to get copies, you can see Vasanti, who's the controller back here. Now this is a painting that I did under Prabhupada's Narada. This is a painting I did under Prabhupada's direction in the early 1970s. And this is Narada Muni. Narada Muni brought the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra from the spiritual world. And because he's chanting so purely and with so much love and affection, he attained all kinds of mystic powers, one of which you can see right now, that he's able to fly throughout all the planets and all the universes without any need of a spaceship, just playing his divine veena and his little clappers and chanting Hare Krishna. As you can see, he's chanting in great happiness. And he's experiencing unlimited bliss, unfathomable knowledge, knowing everything past, present, and future. And this is the result of the pure chanting of the holy name, which gradually develops in our heart through the association with Krishna's pure devotees in the disciplic line from Narada Muni. And here is a painting that I did for Prabhupada also in the early 70s, showing the spiritual master, who's the representative of Krishna, teaching divine knowledge of the soul and the supreme soul, what is the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of this world, and how we could become free from all creation and all destruction. Never have to take birth in another womb, but live perpetually with God Himself as a playmate. So here you see that the Lord is in the heart of the spiritual master, and He's giving some instruction. His hand is up. And the spiritual master, who realizes Krishna, he's giving the same instruction, because he can hear the Lord in his heart. So he's giving that same instruction to the disciple. And the Lord is in the heart of the disciple, but the disciple can't hear internally. So therefore, he finds out what God is telling him by the bona fide spiritual master. And this one I did in 1971. And
is this Arjuna?
Yeah. Okay, so this is Bhishma Dev. And I showed this to Prabhupada to get further directions when he came to our temple in Boston. And by looking at the picture, he said that whenever there's a spark anywhere, one should fan that spark. So if we see anybody who has any very slight teeny inclination towards spiritual life, we should help them to come to Krishna consciousness in any condition. Like, just see the condition of Grandfather Bhishma. He's lying on a bed of arrows. He was just in a battle, on a battlefield. There was a great civil war. So now, he got all these arrows in his back and in his chest, and he's lying down on the bed of arrows. But because he's a pure devotee, because he's a pure devotee of Krishna, he's free from any suffering. So even though he's in that condition, he's teaching his relatives, the Pandavas, about divine consciousness. Okay. And a very common question is, how is this world created? And this painting, which I did in about 1978 or 9, shows it very clearly, or at least it gives a hint. You see, way up on top, that's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How do I know what he looks like? Because his description is in the scriptures. It's in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's in Bhagavad Gita, and other ancient Vedic literatures. And also, he's described to us by Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. So a portion of Krishna, a plenary portion of Krishna, who's lying down in that ocean, is called Mahavishnu. And from the pores of his gigantic body are universes. You can understand how big he is by understanding that these little spheres coming from his body are all universes. And they come out very tiny from the pores of his body, and then they grow into big, big universes. So he is called Mahavishnu. That's Krishna in his four-armed form. And he's lying in the ocean of cause, the causal ocean, and causing all material creation to happen. And then, in each little ball that you see, you can see a little bit of a picture, he further expands into each universe and lies down in the ocean at the bottom of the universe. And from there, all the planets and all the species of life are created. Okay. Then, this is the secondary creator, Lord Brahma. You see that Lord Brahma is sitting on a lotus flower. The stem of that lotus flower goes way down, and its source is the navel lake of that expansion of Mahavishnu, who lies down in the ocean at the bottom of the universe. And Brahma is the son of God. Not only is Jesus the son of God, but he has innumerable sons. And Brahma is the first created being of each universe. So you can see that Brahma is creating now everything else as the secondary creator and under Krishna's direction. On the top, you see five little pictures. That's because at the beginning of creation, he created the five coverings of ignorance. One being self-deception, one being fear of death, one being anger after frustration, one being false ego. And so, is it possible to expand that top? And go to the top? I don't know if you can see what's up there, but you can see there's a man who's smoking and coughing at the same time. That's self-deception. Although we know something is bad for us, still, we're forced to do it because we're under the illusion of ignorance created by Brahma. There, that first one, he's smoking away and coughing at the same time. And then the second picture is the person who's afraid of death. Always we're afraid of death. Our only activities in this material world are eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing. And then we take drugs and intoxication just to make us forget our fear. But how can we really be free from fear? Because by nature, the soul is fearless. We can become fearless by taking shelter of the place where there's no fear, and that is the lotus feet of Krishna. And we can do that through the medium of Krishna's representative, the spiritual master, who incidentally will be coming to Auckland on the beginning, the first week of January. So we'll ask you for your email addresses at the end so that we can let you know just when he's coming and where he'll be. Okay? And this is what happens if we don't get a spiritual master. Here we see the court of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the god of death. Just like in a court, somebody is accused of some crime. And he says, I didn't do it. And he has his lawyer trying to defend him. And then the accusing party, he has his lawyers trying to prove that he was guilty. So whether he gets acquitted or sentenced, that's up to the judge who goes by what he's hearing from the witnesses. So as you saw in the previous painting, the Lord is sitting in our heart. And he's the witness of all of our activities. So if we do activities that hurt others and that hurt, basically that hurt others, illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, intoxication, fish eating, egg eating, wine drinking, if we do those sinful activities and are not engaged in the service of the Lord, then we're taken by these constables of Yamaraj, and they bring us at the time of death to Yamaraj, and then he awards different punishments in different bodies. We see that there's so many species of life, and we know that Darwin's philosophy isn't right, because if Darwin's philosophy is right, which is the survival of the fittest, then why are the unfit still here? Why are the bacteria still here? And the plants and the monkeys. If monkeys evolved to humans, then why are the monkeys still here? So actually, all the species of life were created at the same time. And according to our activities, good or bad, we get good or bad next bodies. And the way we can get out of that whole mess is by meeting a bona fide spiritual master and getting the seed of the Hare Krishna mantra from him, the pure chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And here's a painting of one of the incarnations of Krishna called Lord Nrisimhadev, the half-lion, half-man incarnation of Krishna. Krishna has unlimited incarnations. There was once a great king named Hiranyakashipu, and he was very, very powerful. He was so influential that he could make it rain, or he could make the rain stop. And even the demigods who control the air and the rain and the wind, even they were afraid of him. He was such a powerful king. And he did austerities in the mountains of India. And by those austerities, he made all the planets topsy-turvy with fires and oceans bursting out with waves all over the earth and other planets, shooting rocks everywhere, all over the universe. So much disturbance he was causing by his severe austerities, which he was performing because he wanted to become immortal so that he could forever do his nefarious activities of torturing others. So then, after his austerities of standing on his toes, with his hands up in the air on his toes, that's really hard, even for 2 minutes, what to speak of 125 years. By that time, an ant hill had grown around him, and the ants ate his whole body, except only his skeleton remained, and his life airs remained in the skeleton. So then Brahma, who you saw in the previous picture, the creator of this universe, he came and asked Hiranyakashipu, what benediction do you want? And Hiranyakashipu said, I want to be immortal. So Brahma said, I can't give you immortality because I am also created by the Supreme Lord and even I have to die. Though I live for millions of years, still I have to die. So then Hiranyakashipu thought, okay, I'll trick him into giving me immortality. So he said, okay, then give me the benediction that I won't die in the day or the night. So Brahma said, that is granted, yes. Okay, give me the benediction that I won't die on the land or the sea or the air. All right? And give me the benediction that I won't die by any weapon, by any man-made weapon. All right? And give me the benediction that I won't die in any month of the year. So Brahma granted that. So then he thought, yes, now I'm immortal. Now I can take over the universe. And he was controlling everybody and torturing people who wouldn't surrender to him. And it so happened that he had a little child, a son, who was given to him, put in the womb of his wife, by Krishna. And that son happened to be a pure devotee who loved God, Krishna. And Hiranyakashipu hated Krishna. He hated God because he wanted to be God. So he put his son in his demoniac school where they just learned economic development, sense gratification, how to conquer the enemy, how to flatter the enemy to get him on your side, how to give him a post just to get him on your side. And if that still didn't work, then to beat him, torture him. So this is the kind of school that Prahlad was sent to. So after some time, Hiranyakashipu called for his son Prahlad, and he embraced him, kissed him, wept in great happiness to see his son. And he said, oh Prahlad, what is the best thing that you learn in school? And Prahlad, who had actually heard from his spiritual master while he was in the womb of his mother, he didn't care about what he was learning in his father's school. He had his own spiritual master who he had heard from when he was in the womb of his mother. And he said, oh father, the best thing that I learned is that anyone who has accepted this material body and who's absorbed in material family life, he's suffering in a blind well which doesn't have any water, but only endless suffering. And anybody who's accepted a material body, he must be embarrassed with all kinds of miseries. So the best thing for him is he should leave that situation and go to the transcendental land where Krishna appeared in Vrindavan. And there he should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So his father heard this and he became very angry. To make a long story short, he tried to kill his son by throwing him in a pot of boiling oil and at the foot of an elephant in a freezing blizzard. He had his demoniac sentries throwing big rocks at his head and throwing him off a cliff. But each time, little Prahlad, who was only about 5 years old, meditated on Krishna. That's Prahlad over there with the garland. And each time Prahlad remembered Krishna, and Krishna kept protecting him. Because Prahlad always chanted the Hare Krishna mantra that you were just chanting about a half hour ago. So after the father realized that he couldn't kill the son, he said, Prahlad, where did you get your powers from? So Prahlad said, I got my powers from the same place you got your powers, from Krishna himself, from God himself. So Hiranyakashipu said, God, where is your God? And Prahlad said, oh, my God is everywhere. Although he's a person, he's not impersonal, but still, he's everywhere. So his father said, really? Well, is he in that pillar? And Prahlad said, yes, he's in the pillar. So he took his club and raised it, and then with his fist, he bashed in the pillar. And all of a sudden, the pillar cracked wide open, and there was a big roar. And out came the incarnation of Krishna, half lion and half man, Lord Nrisimhadev. And he immediately put Hiranyakashipu on his lap and ripped him apart. And then Prahlad Then he sat Prahlad on his lap, and he said to Prahlad, "Please tell me, you're my faithful, pure devotee. What benediction can I give you?" And Prahlad said, "I don't want any benediction from you. I'm just happy to serve you. I'm not a businessman." But when the Lord insisted, then Prahlad said, "Okay, then even though my father was so demoniac and tortured the universe, and even though he was against you, can you please deliver him? Give him liberation?" So Lord Nrisimhadeva said, "Oh, that is already done, because he's your father. Anyone who becomes my devotee, my pure devotee, 21 generations are liberated automatically." So here we see Hiranyakashipu being ripped apart. But then how is that? Because he got a boon from Brahma that he wouldn't be killed in the day or the night. So if anybody tries to outsmart Krishna, he can never do so. Or hide from Krishna, he can never do so. So he was killed in the evening, which is neither day nor night. And he got the benediction that he wouldn't die on the land or the sea or the air. So it was on the Lord's lap, which isn't land, sea, or air. And then he wasn't killed by any man-made weapon. He was killed by the Lord's nails. And he wasn't killed by any man or demigod or animal. He was killed by half man, half animal. And he wasn't killed in any month of the year, because this was a leap year, so it was the extra month. Okay. And here's what happens to somebody who becomes a devotee of Krishna and starts chanting Hare Krishna. The opposite thing happens. Just as Hiranyakashipu was so bad to everybody, so there was a hunter named Murari, and he was really bad to animals, and he used to half kill them just to make them scream in agony. And that's Narada. Remember Narada, who was flying through the universe? Well, that's the same Narada there, playing. He's still playing his veena. And he saw all these half-killed animals. So he strung his veena, and all the animals ran away. And then Magari the hunter said, "What are you doing? You made me lose all my animals." So Narada showed him that he gave him a vision that me eat whatever animals you're torturing and killing, so that you can eat meat. That same animal, if you break up meat, M-E-A-T, and you break it up and it becomes M-E and then E-A-T, that means the animal that I'm eating now, in his next life, he will come back as a human and I will come back as an animal and I'll be eaten by him. So by the power of the pure devotee Narada, Magrari came to his senses, and he said, "Okay, well, I'll stop, but how am I going to eat then? This is my livelihood." So Narada said, "If you just chant Hare Krishna, then Krishna will take care of everything for you." So Magrari started chanting, Narada went back to the airways, and Magrari started chanting, and the villagers were so amazed at his change of character that they started bringing him all kinds of foodstuffs, which he offered to Krishna in love and devotion, and then took the remnants as Krishna prasadam. And then, sometime later, Narada came back with his friend Parvat Muni to pay his disciple a visit. And the one down there, leaning on the floor, that's Magrari the hunter. He was running towards his guru, so happy to see him. But then he saw that there were some ants on the floor. So he took his cloth and gently moved away the ants so that they wouldn't be hurt. So Narada said, "Just see the benefits of becoming a pure devotee, how gentle and peaceful one becomes, that he doesn't even want to hurt an ant." Okay. And here is Lord Brahma. Remember Lord Brahma, the four-headed personality who came from the Neva Lake? Visanti, what's the other movie? Oh yeah, right. So in a minute we'll show another little clip. So Prabhupada directed me in this painting of Lord Brahma coming to see Krishna. Can you make it bigger? Because the Brahma from our universe, who has four heads, is right down there. She's going to move the pointer. Can you see that little person? That's the Brahma from our universe. And up there is Krishna. And Brahma came to visit Krishna when he was the prince of Dwarka. And the doorman asked Brahma, he came to the door and he said, Krishna wants to know, which Brahma are you? And he said, what do you mean, which Brahma? You mean there's other Brahmas? I'm the creator of the whole universe. Well, tell him four-headed Brahma came. So then Krishna let him in, and Brahma said, first, my lord, I have a question. Why did you ask me which Brahma? Is there any other universe besides this one with innumerable planets? Are there any other Brahmas? So immediately, thousands and millions of other Brahmas came into the room from their various universes, some having 20 heads, as you can see, some having 100 heads, some having 1,000 heads, because other universes are much bigger than this one. So then Brahma said, oh, now I understand. I feel like an ant in the midst of elephants. Now I understand how insignificant I am. Other people may say they know Krishna, but I can say that I don't know him at all. So Brahma is teaching us our own positions in relation to the Lord. And all these paintings started back in 26 Second Avenue, which is our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada's first temple. And now we're going to get a little clip of Prabhupada's first temple. And the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, just as you were doing just a few minutes ago. So you'll see how the movement started in the West in 1965, and then this is 1966. Of course, Prabhupada didn't start the Hare Krishna movement. It's eternal, and it's coming from the kingdom of God. It has no beginning, and it will have no end. But it's coming through the ages since the beginning of time. And then, in 1965, our Prabhupada brought it to America. And from there, it came to New Zealand. And here he is in his first apartment in the West, in his first temple apartment at 26 Second Avenue in New York. And he's saying his prayers and offering his obeisances to Krishna. Bela, did you ever see this before? No? Huh? You did. And this is some of the first kirtans in the West of chanting Hare Krishna. That's 41 years ago. That's me, when I was 19. And that's Prabhupada coming from his apartment behind the temple, through the courtyard, followed by his disciple, Brahmananda, who was the first temple president of the New York temple. And we're all bowing down and offering obeisances to him because he's the representative of God. So whatever worship and obeisances goes to him, he gives it to God himself because he's the Lord's friend in the spiritual world. And now you're going to see him chant, and you can see why I thought he was a genie out of flying magic carpet when I first met him.
Thank you.
this is the outside of the temple. And there's a painting that I did on the, that Prabhupada directed me to on the outside of the temple building. This is all the people coming in from the back of the temple. And Prabhupada gave me that sari. See how happy you become by chanting Hare Krishna. And now, making a shortcut nutshell, as Prabhupada would say, there are about another 150 paintings I could show you, but the time is short. So now, in 1992, Prabhupada departed from the vision of the world in 1977. And in 1992, I met Srila Prabhupada's successor, that is Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj. And they've been intimate friends since 1946, which is a year before I was born. And he is the Shiksha disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada was leaving the world, the vision of the world, he requested Srila Narayan Maharaj to take over his mission, to continue his mission. So now he's traveling all around the world, and as I mentioned, you folks are very fortunate. You must have performed many, many spiritual pious activities, because you'll be able to see him in 6 months' time when he comes right here to Auckland in the first week of January. So he continued with me, he continued engaging me in painting, and here he is looking at one of the paintings that I did under his direction, and he's giving guidance. This is in Houston a few years ago. And this is one painting that he had me do for his translation of Bhagavad Gita, also showing the benefits of accepting a bona fide spiritual master. Here the spiritual master is Vyasadeva, and he's giving transcendental vision to his disciple. His disciple fully imbibed his instructions and his mood of devotion in his heart, and therefore the spiritual master is now giving spiritual vision. So he's able to see the whole spiritual world and everything that one needs to know, past, present, and future, in his heart. And this is a painting that I did of Srila Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur. It's a long name. And he is one of our previous spiritual masters. The spiritual masters come in a line of disciplic succession from Krishna to his student, and then his student becomes the next spiritual master, and then to his student, and then his student becomes the next spiritual master. And it's an unbroken chain of disciplic succession. Just like a mango, you have a lot of people climbing on the different levels of a mango tree, from the top to the bottom. And that sweet mango is very carefully passed down from careful person to careful person. And then the person at the bottom gets the sweet mango to eat. So similarly, there's a disciplic succession passing down the sweet message of the spiritual world. And because they're all pure masters without any conditioning, without any of the four imperfections of conditioned souls, namely the propensity to cheat, or the propensity to make mistakes, the propensity to be an illusion, and the propensity to have imperfect senses. These four imperfections are not at all in the body of the spiritual master. So this is Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur, and he's one of our previous spiritual masters. And he is the one who wrote the commentaries for the translations of this Bhagavad Gita that our Shiksha Guru Dev, Srila Narayan Maharaj, printed and had me paint the pictures for. So this is the same Sanjaya who just received the transcendental vision, and now he's able to tell the king what's happening in the pastimes of Krishna and his devotees 90 miles away. He's able to see. So this is the benefit of taking shelter of a bona fide guru and also chanting the Hare Krishna mantra under his direction. I can chant Hare Krishna and there'll certainly be benefit. I can go to heaven, I'll become peaceful, free from all agitating desires, lust, anger, and greed. But if I want the highest perfection of going back to home, back to Godhead, then I must hear that mantra from the bona fide spiritual master who puts the seed of the pure chanting in my heart. So incidentally, on Sunday morning, we're going to be having a telephone initiation with Srila Narayan Maharaj. And if anybody, I don't know your backgrounds, but if any of you feel that you're ready, you can contact Vasanti and she'll give you the details. The whole life is transformed at the time of initiation. And this is a painting of Krishna as a baby. And Mother Yasoda, his divine mother, Gurudev Prabhupada told me that she's so elevated, such an elevated soul, such an elevated devotee of Krishna, that Krishna made her his mother. And even though he breathes in and out millions of universes, as you saw from the previous painting, still he becomes dependent on his mother. And she actually feels that if I don't feed Krishna, he'll die. And if she doesn't feed him, he comes to her crying. So our Prabhupada, when I did a similar painting of Mother Yasoda feeding Krishna some yogurt and butter as he's sitting on her lap, and then Prabhupada put that on the wall of his first ISKCON temple in 1967, we started in 66, but we did the painting in 67. So when the painting was up on the wall, Prabhupada made an announcement, and he said, "We are not interested in becoming one with God. We want to become greater than God, like Mother Yasoda, who thinks if I don't feed Krishna, he'll die." And he himself takes that role with her. And this is another painting done under Srila Narayan Maharaj's, Srila Gurudev's direction, Venu Geet, of Krishna out in the cowherds, herding cows and playing with his friends, and the gopis, the cowherd girls, and the calves, and the boys, and the river. This is Nitya Navanabhaya Mana. Every moment in this realm is newer than the previous moment. Instead of getting old and stale, it gets newer and newer at every moment. And now, the pictures that you're seeing from now, these are the pictures that we have available here if you'd like to get them and transform your whole house by having them on your walls. Okay? And this is another of when we chant Hare Krishna. This is Hare. She's so powerful. This is the supreme power of Krishna. She's so powerful that she steals the heart of God who breathes in and out the universes. And she is Krishna's merciful counterpart. Whereas Krishna can be strict, Radharani, Hare, as you chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare is very merciful. And Prabhupada said, if you go to her, if you take shelter of her, then she goes to Krishna and she says, oh, please accept this devotee. I can never love you as much as him or her. Okay. And this is a painting of the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. Next, I'd like to go through these quickly so that we can have time for the wall paintings. These are other paintings that are available, some of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And just by having the painting in your house, you begin to start entering into the reality of the pastimes of God, and you automatically become free from the illusion of the pastimes of this body, which is just made of pus, blood, stool, and urine. Now we're going to show you a series of wall paintings that we did under Srila Gurudev's guidance. All these paintings, just as the paintings we just showed you, they all came from the heart of our spiritual master, who sees Radha and Krishna always in his heart, and also he lives in the heart of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. And this is his temple. Jugal Kishore Prabhu, can you see from all the way back there? Okay. So this is his temple in Govardhan, in Vrindavan. And we're inviting all of you to come between October 26th and November 25th. We're having a big one-month-long festival called Karti, where Srila Gurudev takes us around to all the holy places where Krishna performed his pastimes. And this is me and a whole bunch of other devotees who did these wall paintings under Gurudev's guidance. And we have to thank Jugal Kishore Prabhu in the back, who gave a donation to get a lot of paints when we ran out. So he helped these paintings happen. So first, Prabhupada told, I'm sorry, Gurudev told us to do line drawings of the various pastimes that Krishna performed with his associate in the village of Govardhan, Govardhan Hill, because that's where the festival takes place every October and November. So he said, I want you to do about 20 different pastimes in diptychs and triptychs. Diptychs means, maybe you know from the Christian paintings where sometimes you see two paintings of Jesus in two scenes, like before the crucifixion and after the crucifixion. Or sometimes you see a triptych of, like, you see Jesus' birth and then all the people glorifying him and then the crucifixion, like in little scenes. So Gurudev wanted diptychs and triptychs of the pastimes of Krishna on Govardhan. So here we have, so first he had us do the line drawings, and then he had us give the line drawings to the sculptors to make three-dimensional bas reliefs. Really big, like sometimes 10 feet long, 5 feet high, sometimes 10 feet high, 15 feet long. And so this is one of the examples of the bas reliefs. You can't tell so much here, but when you see it in person, you can see that it's three-dimensional. This is another one of how Govardhan came to be manifest in this world, in India, in Vrindavan. What happened was, there was a great sage, Palashti Rishi, and as you saw in the previous picture, he was carrying Govardhan Hill. He was carrying a big mountain on one finger because he had mystic powers. Sages have mystic powers. So he was carrying Govardhan, and Govardhan said, okay, I'll go with you to your place of worships, because Palashti wanted a place of lush green grasses and very sacred flowers and waterfalls so that he could do his meditations. So Govardhan said, okay, I'll go with you, but if you put me down anywhere, then you won't be able to pick me up again. So he was carrying him, and then just as they passed over Vrindavan, where Krishna was going to appear many years later, he had to go to the bathroom. So he had to put down Govardhan Mountain. He went to the bathroom, washed himself, came back. Then he tried to pick up Govardhan again, but Govardhan refused to be picked up. So he became so angry, because Govardhan knew that in many, many years Krishna will come, and I want him to play and jump and dance on me and have fun in my caves and groves, and I want him to drink the water of my body, which are my waterfalls and lakes. So the sage couldn't pick him up anymore. So he cursed him. You can see he's cursing now. That I curse you, that you will become less size. You will diminish in size by one mustard seed every year. So Govardhan is becoming diminished in size now. You see, when you come to India, to Vrindavan, that he's much smaller now. But that's not because of the curse. It's because he's feeling so much separation from Krishna after he left 5,000 years ago. And here's another story, another history that happened in another age, in another creation, of how Govardhan came to be in Vrindavan, where you'll all be going. And you can see Govardhan face to face. Here's Hanuman carrying Govardhan as one of the big mountains to be used to make a bridge for Lord Ram, Krishna's incarnation, to walk over the Indian Ocean. So all of a sudden there was an aerial voice, and Ram said, "We don't need any more boulders, we have enough, so you can put them down wherever they are." So they just happened to be flying over Vrindavan. So Hanuman, see, he's flying towards us now. Hanuman put down Govardhan in Vrindavan. This is the bas relief. You can sort of see that it's three-dimensional. And there he flew off. And now, here's Govardhan, put down by Hanuman. And he was very sad. So Hanuman said, "Don't worry, because when Krishna comes after a million years, he's going to play on your very breasts, in your caves, in your groves. He'll take the fruit from your very body and eat them. And he'll dance on you with his millions of gopi friends." So then you see the face there? Can you put the pointer to the face? See the eyes and the mouth and everything? So he became very happy to hear that. And here's the bas relief. You can sort of tell that it's three-dimensional. And this is Krishna's most famous pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. Krishna's father and the other cowherd's men were worshipping Indra, the god of the rain, to propitiate him, to please him, so that he would be pleased to continue the rains. But then Krishna convinced his father, "Don't worship Indra. Really, you're getting nourished by Govardhan, because Govardhan is providing grass for the cows and so many other fruits and flowers. So let's worship Govardhan." So his father agreed, and then Indra, the demigod of the rain, became so angry because he was mad that the worship of him stopped just because of this little talkative child, Krishna, that he made it rain and rain and rain, just like thick as pillars. The rain was as thick as pillars and as sharp as arrows. And after a little while, you couldn't even tell the difference between the highlands and the lowlands. They were all covered with water. And everybody became afraid, and they all came to Krishna. So Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, the big mountain, even though Krishna was only 7 years old. He lifted Govardhan with the pinky of his left hand. And you can see that all the residents of Vrindavan are very happy. And this one you can definitely see is a bas relief. It looks very three-dimensional with the lighting. Very atmospheric, dramatic. And by the way, we used real jewelry. She'll show you some close-ups. I don't know if you can see on this one, but there's real jewelry stuck onto the bas reliefs. It looks very lovely when you see it in person, which I hope you all will see in October. So this is the festival of worshipping Govardhan Hill that Krishna induced his family to do. So all the millions of cows are walking around Govardhan Hill, and they're offering him millions of pastries and cookies and sweets and vegetables and milk products and rice. And they're all dancing and singing. And then Krishna himself incarnated in a big form and said, "Give me more, give me more." So they gave him everything that they had. And then he said, now I am satisfied. So Krishna takes, he's God, so and there's nothing beside him. He's the one without a second. But Eko Bohushan, that one becomes many. So he has so many incarnations in so many different ways for the spiritual world and in creation of the material world. And we can get to be his playmate just by chanting Hare Krishna under the guidance of the pure devotee and reading about him. So we have lots of books here tonight, right, Balaram Prabhu? Dhruva Prabhu has lots of books in the back, so I hope you'll all get at least one or two before you leave, so you can enter into this beautiful world, even in this present body, even in your homes or in your office or in your school. You don't have to undergo the drudgeries of daily life and other people insulting you and being too hot or too cold or having to go to the bathroom when you can't. Everything will be fine and great and beautiful and lovely and ever fresh and new just by reading these books, chanting Hare Krishna, and then meeting the bona fide guru. So this is Radha and Krishna on a swing that first we did as a line drawing. Not only myself, but when Gurudev ordered us to do these pictures, he gave us a very short time to do it. So all of a sudden, artists came out of the woodwork. And even people who never painted before began to help. Like Vasanti in the back there, who's controlling the computer here. Even she did one of the paintings on the walls, which I'll show you later. And she never painted before in her whole life. So this is Radha Krishna on the swing. So a lot of artists, all we did this together. And this is a drawing of Krishna's holy festival, where Krishna and Radharani and all their associates squirt each other with different color powders. And we had to take a photograph of this in two sections, although it's really only one bashulik because it was so big that the cameraman couldn't shoot the whole thing all at one time. And you can see that this is a bashulik. You can see how dramatic it is with the lighting and the shadows. And here's Radha and Krishna at noontime with all of their gopi friends. Bela, did you see these drawings before? No? So these are Radha and Krishna and their gopi associates splashing each other at noontime, playing with the water like girls and boys do. But these are the... What? Vrinda? What was she doing? Oh, Vrinda was helping a lot too to get this done. Huh? At the very start she was cooking and helping with computer work to make this all possible. That's Vrinda in the back against the wall. She's beautiful and she did a beautiful job to help these get done. So this splashing is not ordinary splashing. The water here is fully conscious. In fact, this water is a manifestation of the love of Srimati Radhika. She became this water called Radha Kund, just so that you can imagine how transcendental and full of bliss and full of consciousness a water has to be to have God want to play in it. So that's this particular water called Radha Kund. And this is the giant bas relief, which is about 15 feet or so long. So many devotees were working day and night to get these done because it was a very stringent deadline before the big festival of Kartik. And when you come, you'll see all these pictures all over the walls. And then after the splashing, and everybody gets dried and dressed, then Radharani, you can see up there on top, is decorating Krishna with the help of her gopi friends. They're putting on his ankle bells and drawing beautiful pictures on his arms with natural minerals of Govardhan. And this is the boat pastime. Krishna disguised himself as a boatman just to figure out another way to get the gopis to be with him. So they had to get across the river, and in the middle of the river, Krishna started rocking the boat. And he said, the boat sprung a leak and we're all going to drown unless you throw your big pots of yogurt off the boat. So they threw their yogurts off, their pots of yogurt, as you can see, they're all splashing around. And Krishna's enjoying with the gopis. And this is the bas relief, which is about 15 feet long. And this is a very funny story. We like to have fun, and the origin of fun is with Krishna. Janma Dhyasiyataha, the origin of all existence, including all fun. And that fun, there's no buts in it. Like here in this world, it's a nice day, but it will rain. Or it's a nice day, but it will end. Or it's a nice day, but I will die. But in the spiritual world, there's fun, but no buts. So here, Krishna knows that Radharani and her gopi friends like to pick flowers in the groves of Vrindavan. So Krishna knew exactly, because he's God, so he knows everything. So he jumped up on a big branch, knowing which branch she would pick flowers from. So as soon as she started picking flowers, you see he's there, what happened? You see, this is the bas relief. You can see how dramatic it is with the lighting and the three-dimensionality. And Krishna's just waiting for Radharani to hold on to the branch to pick the flower, when all of a sudden he jumps off the branch and Radharani goes flying up full of fright, and Krishna jumps down full of happiness. And then finally in the third picture, because as I mentioned, Gurudev wanted triptychs, Krishna's, which unfortunately we don't have here, this is the bas relief of Radharani flying up, which looks a million times better in person, so I hope you all come to see it. So in the third picture, Krishna holds on to Radharani to save her, and she says, I don't want to be saved by you, and she's pushing him away. But not really pushing him away, it's just like, because girls play hard to get. So why do girls play hard to get? Because janma dhyasiyataha, everything has its origin in the perfect and pure absolute. Now, the next 10 paintings that we're going to show are various incarnations, the 10 pastime incarnations of Krishna, as a fish, as a tortoise, and so on. So this is Krishna's fish incarnation, and this is the bas relief. This is Krishna's incarnation as a turtle, he actually incarnated as a turtle, named Korma, many millions of years ago. And this is the bas relief, which is about 10 feet high. And this is Lord Bor. One time, remember Hirani Kashipu who got ripped apart by Lord Nisringadev? You remember? In the previous picture? So he had a brother who was also a great demon named Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyaksha was digging for gold. So when he was digging for gold, it upset the whole gravitational pull of the earth. So the earth fell down to the bottom of the universe. And then it was like sunk in the water. So the Lord incarnated, he incarnates appropriately in each incarnation according to the need. So as you know, boars kind of sniff around for, in all kinds of dirty places, for what they're looking for. So the Lord, by his smelling, he was able to find the earth underneath the water of devastation. And he picked the earth and put the earth on his tusks to save it. And here again is Lord Nisringadev, the half-lion, half-man incarnation. And here he is as a three-dimensional, in the form of a three-dimensional bas relief, which came and went very quickly. And this is Vamadeva. Vamadeva is an incarnation of Krishna who appeared as a little 5-year-old or 6-year-old dwarf brahmana. And he came to a king. And the king said, "Oh, little Brahmana, what gift can I give you?" So the Lord said, "Oh, I'm a Brahmana, and a Brahmana doesn't want, a devotee doesn't want anything more than his needs, what he needs to maintain body and soul together. Because if a Brahmana or a devotee takes more than he actually needs, then he cannot be satisfied. One can only be satisfied if he takes exactly what he needs and everything else he gives to Krishna. In fact, he even gives his own body to Krishna." So he said, "I don't really need anything, but I just want 3 steps of land so that I can have a place to sit down and do my chanting of Hare Krishna." So then he was given the 3 steps of land. So all of a sudden he grew to a giant size. And with those 3 steps of land, see how he's growing? With those 3 steps of land, with the first step, he covered the whole earth and the whole, all the lower planetary systems. And with the second foot, he covered the whole top part of the universe, and his foot went through the universe. And the spiritual, remember that causal ocean? Remember the Lord was lying down in the causal ocean a few paintings ago, and all the universes were coming out of his body? So that causal ocean is just outside the universe, because the universe is floating in the causal ocean. So the Lord stuck his foot through all the coverings of the universe, which is millions of miles long. And so some of that causal ocean came through to the universe, and that became the Ganges River, which is now a very sacred river, which is flowing in India. And here's the Lord Krishna's incarnation as Ram. Very beautiful greenish incarnation, as you can see from the bas relief. Here's Lord Ram, slaying all demoniac principles and establishing pure devotion and pure pious life. And this is Krishna's brother, Balaram, who assists in all of Krishna's pastimes. And Balaram, Bala means strength, and Ram means pleasure. So his brother Balaram is the source of all pleasure and the source of all spiritual pleasure and the source of all spiritual strength. This is the bas relief of Balaram. Isn't he beautiful? So he's the source of all spiritual strength. That means that he is the original spiritual master, the complete, undivided principle of spiritual master. So all bona fide self-spiritual, self-realized spiritual masters, as we discussed and showed before, they're all manifestations of Krishna's brother, Balaram. So they're all coming from the spiritual world. And here is Buddha, who you all know. Lord Buddha came to teach compassion. He's an incarnation of Krishna, and he came particularly out of compassion for the poor animals. And he preached nirvana. He preached that stop all activities and just meditate on the void. But why did he say that? Because I see that several of you are parents here. So when your child is little and will only do whatever it does, it's going to be destructive. Throwing things around, breaking things, and whatever you try to engage him or her in something constructive, some constructive game, they'll just keep ripping everything, rip the house, throw the lamp all over the place. So you say to the child, "Okay, don't do anything. Just sit in the corner and face the wall and don't do anything." Because if the child would do anything, it would be destructive. So similarly, although Lord Buddha personally knew about the kingdom of God and all the spiritual activities as Krishna's or God's playmate, he taught, just sit down and meditate on nothing and don't do anything. This was only temporary because the people were engaged in misusing the Vedas for, misinterpreting the Vedas for rampant sacrifice and slaughter of animals. So he said, don't even follow the Vedas, just meditate on void, and then you'll get nirvana, liberation. But this was only temporary. In order to get them to stop eating meat and be compassionate to the animals. And then Krishna came as his next incarnation. to bring them back to the Vedas and for better spiritual understanding. How many of you know about Lord Buddha? Can you raise your hands? Oh, a lot. So there's a very, very interesting story that our spiritual master will stay at this picture. He looks so nice, doesn't he? So compassionate. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, tells this interesting history that there was a veterinarian, somebody, a doctor of animals, and he had an apprentice who he was starting to train up. So the first place that he went to was a horse, and the horse had a lump in his throat. So he took a hammer, and he knocked the lump, and the lump went down, and the horse was fine. So then the apprentice got really puffed up and proud, and he thought, well, what do I need this doctor for? Now I know what to do. It's not that hard. And so without saying anything to the doctor, he just left. And the doctor didn't see him for about a year. And then after a year, he saw him, and he said, what happened to you? And the apprentice said, doctor, I just can't understand it. I copied you, I did exactly what you did, but the animals just kept dying. So the doctor said, you are such a foolish person. That was a special case. That horse had swallowed something and I was just knocking the thing down for him. But not that in every case you hammer the guy's throat. So similarly, it was a special case when Lord Buddha came to protect the animals. It's not that Buddhism, that Lord Buddha wants that Buddhism to be preached forever. It was just temporary because they were misusing the Vedas to sacrifice and slaughter animals for rampant meat eating. And then, when the people got a little more into vegetarianism, then the Lord came as his next incarnation and brought them back to the Vedas. Okay. And this is what happens if somebody doesn't follow any of his other incarnations and engages in sinful life, then in 427,000 years at the end of each Kali Yuga, but not at the end of this Kali Yuga, because this Kali Yuga is called Dhanya Kali, or Blessed Kali Yuga, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna's Radha and Krishna, the divine couple, combined together in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the best devotee. And he taught us that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, the age of Kali, of quarrel and destruction and hypocrisy, where people even eat each other, this goes on in many Kali Yugas. But in this one, it won't, because of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And even if everything else is bad around you, if you chant Hare Krishna, then there's no Kali Yuga in your life. And then this became the Vasuli, and the controller of this computer who's making this slideshow for you, Vasanti, she painted this picture, even though she never painted before in her life, because she was empowered by chanting Hare Krishna, her pure chanting, and empowered by her pure guru, who wanted to manifest his heart in Govardhan. So I think that's the end of... Oh, and here's Gurudev coming with 700 devotees. And he's coming and looking at all the wall paintings. Huh? What? Oh, yeah. And because this is an art gallery, today we'll show how the paintings get developed from the sketch stage. Are you doing sound? You can see how the sketch is started. This is the Damodar picture. And then it gets developed, we paint over the next layer, and then more detail, 5x7 drawing, then a tone sketch, and then a color sketch. And then you saw the painting around. And this is a picture of Radha and Krishna, starting from the very quick 2 inches tone sketch then a line drawing, 5 inches. And then a little bit bigger pen and ink line drawing, and then the painting. And these are all available to you after the program. And we made a grid so I could copy the tone sketch onto the canvas. Questions or comments? You can turn the light on.
Anything.
Bella?
How long does it take to paint a picture like this?
Bella asked, how long does it take generally to paint a picture? It generally takes about 1 month, but that horizontal one of Radha and Krishna sitting where Radharani is going like this, that took about 5 months. There's like 10 Krishna's legs under that one, 10 faces, and every time I came back, all the things that I was painting was in a different place. I just couldn't control the thing at all. Everything moved after I left for the night, and when I came back, it was in a different place, the eyes and everything. I just couldn't control it at all. And then, when the picture was almost finished, Srila Gurudev told me to add the manjaris in the background. And because of the addition of the manjaris, the painting very quickly got done. Because by the mercy of the manjaris, one can attain Radha and Krishna. So I asked Gurudev, how come this painting took 5 months, whereas all my other pictures took 1 month? So he said, because your previous paintings were done by your will. But with this one, I had to push my will through your will, so it took the extra time.
How many manjaris are there?
Well, there are 5 there, but they're unlimited that you can't see. But if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be able to see them.
Why is the lotus flower always prominent in the most...
Louder?
Why are lotus flowers always prominent in most of the paintings?
Why are lotus flowers prominent in the paintings? Well, one thing is that Krishna always... not always, but often carries a lotus flower. So does Radharani, because it has a lot of symbolism. Their eyes are shaped like lotuses. Their feet, toes are shaped like lotuses. Their hands and feet are as soft as lotuses, and millions of times more fragrant than lotuses. Sometimes they lie on beds made of lotus petals. Krishna twirls a lotus to show that my mind is twirled by you, gopis, and when will you join with me in the rasa dance?
Radha's play lotus.
Huh?
Radha's a play lotus.
And what do you, I never understood the play lotus.
I think she bumps Krishna.
Oh, plays with it. Yeah. They play with the lotus. Any other questions or comments? Particularly by our guests who are here for the first time.
I'm thinking. Just a lot of questions. Just to get my head around.
Your age. How old are you?
I'm 18.
Your age is the age for education and questions. So it should be like that.
Just things to know.
Well, it's all coming, right? Like a barrage of new things,
so
I know.
I never understood Krishna's lotus feet, so if you could explain that for me.
Lotus feet means it's as soft as a lotus, and very beautiful like a lotus, but actually the lotus got its softness and its beauty and its fragrance from Krishna's feet. That's why the lotus is so beautiful. And you know how the lotus is a little reddish at the tips? So Krishna's hands and feet are also a little reddish at the tips. So because it's compared with a lotus, that's why it's called lotus feet. Lotus means lotus-like. Very soft, fragrant, sweet, beautiful, tender, like that. But because Krishna is Sarva Karana Karana, he's the origin of all. So the lotus flowers came from him, and everything else beautiful came from him. That was a good question. Any other? Okay, if not, then we'll have another just 3-minute session of the Hare Krishna mantra. As I mentioned in the beginning, whatever you do, whatever talent you have, whatever emotions you feel, whatever you desire, all that comes to perfection by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So this time we'll ask everybody to stand.
We'll ask all the devotees to stand here and face the audience.
And now we're going to teach you the dance that our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada taught us when we first met him in 1966. So if you could kind of do what I do, that is put your right foot over your left foot. Can you all do that? Right foot over the left foot, and then bring it back, and then the left foot over the right foot, and bring it back. And again, the right foot over the left foot, bring it back, and the left foot over the right foot. Okay, now you got that down. Now, can you clap like this? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Okay, so it's a 1, 2, 3 beat. And sometimes you can either clap or you can hold your arms up in the air. Just like a child holds its arms up in the air for the parents to pick them up. So we hold our arms up in the air while chanting so that Krishna can pick us up from all of our material miseries. And we clap, just like when you clap by a tree, all the birds fly away. So all the birds of all of our miseries and past sinful reactions all fly away by the chanting of Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll ask you to, if you can do this back and forth and clap. And you already know the chant. Okay, let's
see. Speaking.
Thank you.
fear. So now we're going to have vishada. That is spiritual food. That means it looks like regular food, and it started out like that. But then they did special Vedic mantras, and they cooked it. The devotees cooked it with great devotion and love. And by sacred mantras, they offered all that food to Krishna. And now it's called vishadam, or mercy. So just by eating this food, you feel spiritual awareness. So here we go to the next part of the program.